This morning's scripture reading is from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 21 to 40. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Lyra. Before I forget, because I forgot this on Christmas Eve, so I'm going to say it now because it's in my head. We were gifted very generously with some extra poinsettias from the nursery where we did our fundraiser. They've been lovely decoration, but they need to go somewhere or they're going to die. They're not going to live forever in the church, especially because they don't get as much natural light as I'm sure they would like. So if you would like to take a poinsettia home at the end of the service, please take a poinsettia home. If you'd like to take two, take two. If you have a neighbor who you think would like a poinsettia, take one for them. I would love to see them go to homes where they can live for a little longer. So please consider that at the end of the service. All right, let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you that your story's not done. It wasn't done when you were born in the stable. It's not really done even today. In our present day, you continue to tell this wonderful story of your love and grace. And so as we hear the story of Simeon and Anna, as we think about what it means for us, help us to see the way you are speaking into our lives. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God, our rock and redeemer. Amen. All right, so I always find that the week immediately following both Christmas and Easter become my so what week. They're the week where we ask, okay, we've had this wonderful, great big celebration. Maybe we've gotten together with family. Maybe we've exchanged gifts, especially at Christmas time. We've had this great big, wonderful, beautiful celebration at church, whether it's on Christmas Eve or whether it's on Easter Sunday. We've done all these special things. And I don't know about you, but there's a little bit of a low that comes after Christmas and after Easter. And also, because there's been so much buildup to it, Advent with Christmas, which of course comes with all these other things like parties and buying presents and decorating the house and getting ready, and we were listening to all our lovely Christmas music that we only listen to once a year. Even at Easter, we're preparing over 6 weeks for Lent, and you know, we have like service Thursday, service Friday, service Sunday. There's all this stuff going on. And sometimes we just want to be done with it. Okay, we've done that, we move on to the next thing. But the thing is, those times aren't over. We have 12 days of Christmas, which we're in the middle of, that starts on Christmas Day. This goes right till Epiphany, which is at the beginning of January. Easter's even longer. The Easter season goes from Easter Sunday all the way to Pentecost. It's 7 weeks. And so, as a minister, this is what I find asking myself. Why should we continue to be excited the week after all of the excitement has happened? And part of it for me is asking this question. Where does the nativity story, so the story of the birth of Jesus, where does it start and where does it end in the book of Luke? Now, you might want to say it starts when Gabriel comes to visit Mary. You might want to say it ends when the shepherds go off praising God. But Luke does something interesting. He alternates in telling the stories of John and Jesus. He's actually got two nativities in the beginning. But because he doesn't tell one then the other, he tells them back and forth, I would argue that the nativity story starts with Elizabeth and Zechariah, which is often where we start the first Sunday in Advent. And so it starts with a story of an elderly couple who are righteous and devout, who desperately wanted a baby and didn't get one. That's where our nativity story starts, and everything builds from there. And so what I would argue is, here's what's interesting. If we stop the story at Luke 2, verse 20, Jesus doesn't even have a name yet. He is still the child. Gabriel has told them what he should be called, but they haven't named him yet because babies weren't named in those days until they were circumcised 8 days later. And so the beginning of our reading today was actually the naming of Jesus. And then there's this going to the temple that Mary and Joseph do because they're following the law. This is what was required. A woman would have to wait 2 weeks after she gave birth because blood was considered unclean. And so you had to wait for you to be clean again. And then they could go to the temple and they could give offerings for their firstborn child, and for a purification offering for Mary. And so they do that. And what's fascinating, and I just think this is so beautiful, because we start with an elderly couple who haven't received a baby yet, even though they dearly wanted one. And we end with an elderly couple, even though they're not a married couple, but a man and a woman who are both elderly, who get to see the promise of God through a baby. Do you see how Luke kind of captures it all together? We start and end with this meeting of wisdom and innocence. And for those who feel concerned that that Anna at 84 was considered very old, remember that they did not have the health care that we do now. And there's some question as to whether she was 84 or whether she'd been a widow for 84 years. So she may have even been over 100. We're not really sure what was going on there. So, but we have wisdom meeting innocence, both at the beginning and the end of our story. And just like Elizabeth and Zechariah, both Simeon and Anna are described, Simeon as righteous and devout, as someone who's waiting for the consolation of Israel. He had been promised, we don't know whether he was visited by an angel, whether he had a vision, what happened, but he was promised he would not die before he had seen the Messiah, the Christ. Anna is described as a prophetess, and described as someone who never left the temple but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. So we have two older, devout people waiting for a promise that's delivered in Jesus. So my first question for you is, what was the promise that God was fulfilling? Because baby Jesus couldn't do anything at that stage. He was a baby. He wasn't even 6 months old. He may not have even been a full month old yet. All of us who have experienced babies know babies at that age, they're doing nothing, right? Except crying and pooping and eating and sleeping, not in that order or frequency for that matter. But that's it. And yet they saw Jesus, and both of them said, this is the answer. This is the answer to the promise God has made. To see the Messiah, to meet the one through whom God would provide a light of revelation to the Gentiles and glory to Israel. So for any of us who want to separate Jesus from Israel, we can't do it. Any of us who want to say Jesus was just for Israel, we can't do it. Luke is very careful to make sure the promise encompasses everyone. And then the rest of the book of Luke, because we can't forget, Luke doesn't end at the end of chapter 2. He spends the rest of the book explaining how Jesus fulfills these promises, the ways in which Jesus is the Messiah, the ways in which he provides a light of revelation to the Gentiles, the ways in which he is the glory of Israel. He even warns about the conflict that's going to come through a warning that Simeon gives to Mary. Why Mary, not Joseph? Probably because Joseph dies before Jesus becomes an adult. But really, Simeon isn't just talking to Mary. He's talking to all of us. This man, this baby, is a promise, but a promise that's going to cause some conflict, as well as salvation. What's interesting is we don't hear, in this case, how Simeon and Anna knew that Jesus was the Messiah. Right? With Elizabeth, we know that John moved, right, in her belly, and she knew that it was something special. It was movement in a different way, and the Holy Spirit spoke to her in that moment. We know when angels came, right? And often in this story, angels are the ones who make it clear that this baby is special. Here we get nothing, just that Simeon saw them and knew. Anna saw them and knew. What we know is that Simeon was only in court that day because the Holy Spirit told him to go. And so he went. We know that Anna was only there because that had been her life. She spent every day worshiping and fasting and praying in the temple since she'd lost her husband. That was her new role, was to be in the temple. They showed up, is what they did. They followed God's Spirit and they kept their eyes open. They were open and willing to imagine the possibility that God might show up, might do something special. And again, like we talked about on Christmas Eve, the first part, it's remarkably ordinary. There's no big star in the sky. There are no angels that show up. There's no trumpets blasting. They see a family, probably one of many that they have seen over time, come to give their offerings. But because they're looking with expectation, they see God's presence within the family, and they rejoice. So all Advent, we've been talking about how to share good news with others. What does it look like to talk about why we believe? Why we think it's worthwhile to be here at St. Stephen's, to grow our faith? And all of that's important. But the other thing that's important, and can sometimes come especially at the end of a holiday, is we need to be able to remind ourselves and each other about the promises of God and how God has fulfilled them. Because if we don't remember, how can we share? If we don't know how God is working in us, how can we tell other people how that's happening? So what I want to do is I want to take a little bit of time, and if you're not sitting near someone, I'm going to encourage you to move. And what we're going to do is we're going to share. We're going to think back about 2024, and we're going to share a way that we have seen God do something good in our lives. Now, for some of you, that might be easy. For some of you, that might be harder. If you have trouble, if it's been a really, really just rough, rough year, and you're not quite sure where God's goodness lies, and that happens sometimes, listen to the stories of your conversation partners. But also, I would encourage you, if nothing comes to mind, to share a promise God makes in Scripture that you love. Whether it's, and we heard some promises here, right, in this passage, but there's other places. All of Scripture is the stories of time after time of God making promises and God fulfilling them. So if it's been a really hard year in particular, think about what promises you cling to in the Bible, in Scripture. So if you're at home and there's people there with you, you can have this conversation. If not, I always encourage people to pick up a pen and some paper and journal, or draw a picture, anything that lets you kind of reflect. So we're going to take some time. We'll see how long people talk, somewhere in the 5-10 minute range. We'll see if people start to run out of things to say. We'll come back. And if anyone wants to share, we'll take a few moments to share together. If no one wants to share, that's okay too. So on the screen, if you press the P button, there will be our question that you can chat with together as a group. Of course, you're welcome to fill up your coffee and those sorts of things as we go as well. So let's take some time to share together. I'm going to call everybody back. It is so lovely to see everyone having good conversation. You're welcome to continue that at the end of the service. I hope those at home were able to have some good reflection and conversation as well. Does anybody have anything in particular they would like to share? Blessings from 2024. Yes. Yeah. So we did have a number of challenges as a congregation over this year. Some of them felt insurmountable at times, and yet they weren't. God was good, and through people we didn't expect, and some we did, we were able, by God's grace, to get through them. And we're probably not quite done yet, but this is the thing about God's promises, right? Is that when we know God's shown up in the past, that helps gives us hope and faith that God is showing up in the future. So that's a great example. Thank you. Does anyone else want to share anything in particular where they saw God at work this year? New faces. Yeah, some new folks here at church on Sunday. I will say, right, in some years, right, this Sunday after Christmas, we've had 12 people at church. So it's lovely to see all of you here this morning. Yeah, Nancy.
Thank you, Jen, for mentioning that. I just want to say to the congregation, amen. Like you said, the Sunday after Christmas is kind of, okay, that's all
over. We've done enough church this week. Yeah. So it is good, and it is wonderful and encouraging, right, to see new faces and people who keep coming back, and we're glad that you are here. In whatever capacity you can engage with us, and look forward to seeing faith and congregation grow in 2025. Those are a couple wonderful examples. I'm sure you have some in personal lives as well as within the church. I am certainly grateful and amazed and heartened by how The congregation has welcomed Madeline. That has been a big change in our family, and to see her embraced has been just fills my heart with gratitude. And as a minister, it fills me with pride that our congregation wants to, even when we're uncomfortable, try and be welcoming and open and learning. So both as a mom and as a minister, I thank God for your openness, and I thank God that she's here playing for us today, because it's lovely to get to do that, and to see her grow in her piano playing is fun. All right, these are all wonderful things. I'm sure there's many more, but let us say a prayer of thanks to God and pray for our community. God, we thank you for the many ways you've blessed us in 2024. That's not to say the year has always been easy. Certainly many people in our congregation have faced challenges in health, in loss, in change, in many ways. But you make these amazing promises that we don't have to walk through these things alone. You give us friends and family and community who can help us when life is difficult. You walk in front of us, behind us, and with us, showing us a path forward, providing us glimpses, sometimes just a whisper of hope, which is enough to see us through to what is coming next. Thank you that you first loved us, even when we didn't really know what love was. You loved us so that we could see what it looks like and we could model it. So thank you for the ways that you've helped us do that, where you've helped us to be a blessing to others who needed it this year. We pray, God, as we have encouraged one another, that we might be able to encourage those around us, to remind them that even when life seems dark and bleak, it is not without hope. It is not without love. It is not without mercy or grace. And so help us to be that light when people need it, so that we might reflect your light, your love and your grace and your peace to those around us. We pray for those that continue to struggle, to continue to have a difficult time, those who are grieving, especially over the holidays, those who perhaps are reaching the end of their lives and their family members who surround them. We pray for those who are getting used to a new type of living that involves less mobility, perhaps, or less flexibility in what they can do. Help them to make wise choices about how to live and where to live so that they can continue to thrive. Give patience to their family members who are trying to help them as best they can. God, may your comfort and your grace be seen in all of those families and in our own church family as we go into 2025. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So one of the ways that we say thank you to God is through our gifts. As we said earlier, if you did want to make a gift to St. Stephen's in 2024, we're running out of days of the year. So this is a great opportunity to do that. We recognize people give in many different ways, both digital gifts as well as gifts that aren't monetary but still important in the way that our church functions. And of course, we are so grateful for your generosity in 2024. As Owen said, there are many things that seemed insurmountable, that together as a community we've been able to get through. And it is always humbling and praise-inducing to see how this community comes together and shares our gifts and talents in so many ways. So we're going to offer those gifts up to God. Just a small piece of what he's given us as we sing. And we're going to sing Joy to the World, which is maybe too good a song to sit the whole time through. So we will sit while the offering plates are passed, but maybe only one or two verses, and then I'll invite people to stand when Lyra and Nancy have made the rounds, because you really want to sing Joy to the World with gusto. So. Let us offer our praises to God along with our gifts. Let us sing.